So open up our Bibles this morning, Daniel chapter 6. We'll have a word of prayer before we read. Our Heavenly Father, we certainly give you the praise and the glory for all that you've done for us, Lord. We are so thankful for salvation. We're thankful for the country that we live in. Heavenly Father, there are many troubles, dear Lord, in our country. But, dear Lord, we are thankful for the freedom that we have. We're thankful for the religious freedom we're able to have. Dear Lord, that we're able to serve you and worship you, dear Heavenly Father. That we can be right on Main Street, so to speak, dear Heavenly Father. We don't have to hide and go around to people's houses and different times and different days, dear Heavenly Father. But Lord, we're thankful for the place, and we ask you to be with us and protect us. And dear Lord, we ask you to help us, dear Lord, that this will continue for many, many, many years, dear Heavenly Father, that we'll have this wonderful freedom, dear Lord. We ask you to be with us and encourage us, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, as we enter into this week of Thanksgiving, dear Lord, we are so thankful for the many blessings, dear Lord, but we are mostly thankful for salvation. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for the hope that we have, dear Heavenly Father. We're thankful for the foundation that you put us on, dear Heavenly Father. We're thankful for the way that you established our lives, dear Lord. So many things, dear Heavenly Father, and we don't want to fail to be thankful for all these things. We ask you to be with each and every one that's here this morning. Dear Lord, there's each and every one of us. No doubt there's some portion of our life, dear Heavenly Father, where there's troubles, where there's could be some heartaches, dear Lord, some more than others. But, dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to help each one of us to rise up above that. Dear Lord, to look to you and to give you praise. Dear Lord, there's one day, if we're saved and we're sanctified and we are leave this world that way, dear Heavenly Father, one day, as I think we sang a portion of the song, Lord, we'll leave all these troubles behind. We'll leave all the burdens and the heartaches and all those things behind, and Lord, we'll be forever in glory one day, where the Word tells us to be joyful, dear Heavenly Father, beyond imagination, dear Lord. So that's what we long for, dear Heavenly Father. So help us, dear Heavenly Father, to just lift ourselves up, dear Heavenly Father, to be encouraged, to be blessed in our soul, Lord, regardless of what's going on in our homes and around us, dear Heavenly Father, but to give you praise this morning for all the blessings. So Lord, we look at the message that we have this morning. We ask you to bless and anoint it, dear Heavenly Father. Anoint the ears and the hearts of each one, dear Heavenly Father, that it may be a blessing to us, dear Heavenly Father. So Lord, go with us. We ask you to anoint me, anoint the word, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess this message is probably what they call hot off the press, as it can be, I guess. I had a message sort of ready for the week, or earlier in the week, for this morning. And I got up this morning and started going over it, and it just didn't seem to flow with me. And it was about 8:05, and I decided to do another message. So I said, Lord, I don't have a particular thought. So I started digging, and I felt God give me some of these thoughts, and trust will be a blessing to you this morning also. Daniel chapter 6. I know we read about Daniel not too long ago about prayer. But I'm just going to look at a particular verse here, and we're going to consider that for this morning in verse 10. And you all know the story here about Daniel, and we'll read verse 10 and maybe back up a little bit in the story. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being open in the chambers toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and he as he did aforetime. Now we know the story of Daniel, that I'm not going to go too long into it, that all the different ones that in the kingdom, they were upset with Daniel and the position that the king Darius had given him, and they tried to find ways to accuse him, to not to be pleasing in Darius' eyes, and they couldn't find anything, so they knew that Daniel was faithful in prayer, and that he had done this every day. They'd gone to his window, and he opened his window up, and he prayed 3 times a day. And they tricked the king, as you know,
and they said, don't let anyone ask anything, I think, for 30 days, except of you, King, and kind of puffing him up and lifting him up. And the king didn't know the deception of these men, so he signed the writing. As we read there, he signed the writing that if anyone asks of any other god or anybody else except for King Darius, that they were to go into a den of lions. And it's where we read there here, very first part of verse 10, and Daniel knew that the writing was signed. And we're going to just jump a little bit ahead in my message here and back up some. And he says he knew that the message was signed, the writing was signed, but he had continued to pray as he had done in the past. He didn't change. I don't know, most of us that have read this story, and no, I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I know I've thought about it. A lot of stories we consider. When we read, we consider. There again, I've said it so many times. We read the story from front to end, and we know the front, and we know the beginning and the end, and we know how it turns out well, and we can rejoice. But Daniel didn't. And if we were in that particular time, we would not have known either. And I've thought about it. Now, it says that Daniel went to his room. How much maybe of a... did he have to think about that? How much of a temptation was him, you know, just leave your window shut and just pray in your house? How much of a temptation would that have been? But he didn't. We're on the eve of basically Thanksgiving this week and looking at the thought of being thankful. Our history tells us that November 1621, after the pilgrims' first corn harvest proved successful, they organized a celebratory feast. And I thought as I read that, and it says here that after the pilgrims' first corn harvest proved successful, I thought, how many harvests did they try and fail? You know, we always think, okay, they planted corn, they planted their crops and everything, and it grew and they had a crop. But it says after their first one, how many times maybe did they plant? Maybe the animals destroyed it, the weather destroyed it, just the soil didn't take place. How many times did they do it before they became a successful thing? And I can imagine back in 1621, life was quite a bit different back then than we have today. Brother Walter mentioned the heat. We have warm here. I think from history, I remember there was a time where this building used to have a wood stove. How many would be willing to get up about 5 in the morning every service, every Sunday, you know, to come up here? I'll volunteer to come up here and get the fire started. You can't start a fire in a half hour. You got heat in a building like this. Now, this building wasn't nearly this size. It takes hours to get a good fire and a stove and to radiate the heat and be comfortable. Some of you may remember some of those times where you had to have a wood stove or whatever. When we were on vacation this year to Yellowstone, and we went to Jackson Hole, there was a home, a settler's home there, and we have pictures of it. And actually, I could not really walk into it. It was like a building. It was like 2 rooms. One room was here, and I would say it maybe been 15 by 15, maybe a little bit longer, bigger than that. And then they had a breezeway, what we would call a roof over top of that, and another building over here the same size. I don't think I could stand up in it fully. I had to bend over a little bit. But as we were standing there, and my mind got to thinking, now this day, it was still left there. There's nothing, nowhere. It's not like built around a city. Now, I know Jackson Hole was that way, but that wasn't there years ago when these people were there. And my mind got to thinking, there was a little bit of a fear that came upon me to thinking if I was there in that day, your chances of survival was almost nothing. With the weather and the animals and if what you didn't have for crops, just the conditions of life. And my getting to that particular point is, how much did they have to depend on God? How much did they spend great deal of time praying and looking towards God and asking God? They prayed when they prayed when they planted their crops. They prayed probably during the crop's growth and working. They prayed. They prayed. They needed God's help. Way of life was different. Their weather. There was no city. Well, if our crops don't grow, we'll just go in the city and buy food. There wasn't any of that. Up there in New York, would they have about 4 feet of snow or more the other day?
5 feet.
5 feet in one place? Imagine having 4 feet of snow and have to survive with no one around, no snow blowers, no nothing. You just shovel out a little area for you to live, your animals and all that. They had to worry about sicknesses. You know, we complain a little bit today. Sometimes we call our doctors and we can't get an appointment. You might get a video call, but at least if we get really sick, we can go to a hospital. There was none of that back then days. They're enemies, no doubt enemies, people always wanting to take over and kill them. But as I mentioned, one thing I believe was for sure, I believe they trusted God. I believe they prayed. I believe they looked for God. They prayed for the harvest. They prayed for life. They prayed for the children. They prayed day to day. They lived from day to day. One of our biggest troubles today is if you go down there to Gerschbeck's and you're looking for a particular turkey, either a brand or a size, and they don't have it, you got to drive maybe half a mile up the street to another grocery store to see them. That's our biggest challenge. Back then, they had 10 turkeys or 10 chickens or whatever, and 6 or 7 of them died from animals coming in or whatever. That wasn't a challenge. That was life-threatening. But back to Daniel here in verse 10. He says, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And his window being opened in his chambers toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knee 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. It says that Daniel prayed and gave thanks before God. And this is the most important part of this verse, I believe, as he did before. As he had been doing, had been faithful. This is not when Daniel first started to pray. When the writing was signed with Darius and things, if any man asked any other petition except for him, after in the next 30 days he would be cast into the lion's den. Certainly that would create a concern to you. So that's when Daniel started to pray. No, that isn't when Daniel started to pray. He had been doing this. He had been faithful to this. And many times that's when people feel I need to fall upon my knees and pray. When there's trouble, when there's conditions, when there's worries and all. When it's I need to look to God. And that's a good time also. But it's a time to have been thankful. Are we thankful? The song that we don't sing too much, or we kind of quote more than anything, the song says, if I had 10,000 lives in which to praise Him, I could not enough my Lord adore. God is worthy of our praise. In good times, in bad times, and everything in between. He's worthy of our praise. How much do we honor God? How much do we give God praise? How much do we acknowledge God? See, we're living in a time different than the 1621. Their life expectancy, I'm certain, was much shorter just because of the way life is today. We have so many conveniences, so many easy things. We have stores. I know back during the time when COVID first hit, and there's other been times when things were scarce to find. But we all found them from here. Somebody tell you, hey, they're over there, or they're over there, and everybody rush and they ration certain things out, and kind of always a joke. There was a joke, of course, you know, when the toilet paper was going on, couldn't find toilet paper. There was a joke that our great grandchildren will pull out the last pack of toilet paper that grandmom and grandpa got during COVID. You know, they then hoarded it all up and all. We had it. We have it. There's never. I don't know if there's a time in our life today to where there isn't some way we have a helping blessing somewhere. Convenience of something. They didn't have back then. And I say that, and I even bring it to myself, Lord, help us. Because, see, we can sometimes take certain things just for granted. Just because we live in the conditions that everything is much better. Go to a third world country. Go somewhere and live in certain countries where women aren't even allowed to speak, aren't even allowed to be at the same table with men, even still today. How much we're blessed, how much we're so thankful. If I had 10,000 lives to give God praise. I couldn't praise him enough for all that he'd done. My thought for the day, as I started looking up thoughts this morning, this is what I came up with. Thanking God even in the darkened days. Thanking God even in the dark times, in the difficult times. And it says here that Daniel, when he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being opened in his chambers towards Jerusalem, and he knelt three times a day, and he prayed, and the next phrase there, and he gave thanks. Even in the dark times, even in Daniel didn't have any idea what was about to happen in the next several days, and no doubt Daniel knew that he was being tricked, he was being set up in a sense, and he knew that, and he knew that no doubt he was going to go into the den of lions and had no assurance of anything except death. And he gave God thanks. In the darkened times. See, it's easy to thank God when things are well, when you're getting a paycheck, when your food's full, your refrigerator's full, your pantry's full, your car is running well, everything in your house is well, your health is well. It's easy to give God thanks, or, as I'll get to it a little bit later, or is it? So even those times, sometimes people still don't give God praise and thanksgiving for the good days. How are they going to give God praise and thanksgiving in the darkened days when times are difficult? Sister Ann sings that song from time to time. The one phrase in song says, where God says, I want to hear you sing. I want to hear you sing when things aren't well. When things look dismal. When things don't look good on the pathway on our front of us. When we see all kind of problems. We can sing and give God praise and thanksgiving. See what the enemy does. The enemy does his very best to try to call us a hypocrite. Oh, look at what you're facing. Look at what you're going through. And you're trying to give God praise and sin. You're being a hypocrite. But I believe that God does honor that in one sense. If you understand, if you get to the thought of the message, I believe God does honor that when we give him praise on the darkened days, almost more than we give him praise on the good days. Because that's when faith is taking hold. Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to look to you. I'm going to thank you for the things that you've done for me, regardless of what's ahead of my life. I'm going to hold to you. Daniel knew the writing was signed. And as I mentioned, that's not when he started praying. But he'd been faithful before, as the latter part of that verse says, as he did aforetime, he'd done it again. Let's go back to Psalms chapter 107. In Psalms 107, verse 21 and 22, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with righteousness, or with rejoicing. The first verse there, it says, oh, that men, and I feel that that's a cry, a call, a desire. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. God been good to you?
Yes, amen.
We can break out a list of all kind of problems in our lives. All kind of aches and pains and things and problems. I said our house, our car is running good. Our car isn't running good. I need a furnace. I don't have any food. This or that and whatever. The widow woman, when she was gathering some sticks up, that Elijah came and talked to her, and he was gathering some sticks up. He says, what are you doing? She goes, I'm gathering sticks up. I'm going to make me a fire. I have enough meal and enough oil to make one cake, and me and my son are going to eat that, and we're going to die. I don't really see her complaining. She understood the gravity of the situation, and that's what it was. How many of us has ever faced that? But give God praise. She honored God because the prophet told her. He goes, well, I'll go ahead and do what you're going to do, but make me the cake first. And she followed that because she believed God. She trusted God. God gave me a thought some time back, several weeks ago or months or so ago. I don't remember exactly all the details, but he blessed my heart with it a little bit. And no doubt each one of us knows someone that's in a dismal state in life. And I know someone right now, a very young person, that their life is in a train wreck. And I pray that in the conditions that they don't end up taking their life. And in times, many people become hopeless. They're hopeless. And God gave me this thought, not for this particular time, but some weeks ago, what, a month ago. And a lot of people get into a condition just as the prodigal son. You know the story of the prodigal son? Things were well with him while he was home, while he was with his father, while he was in that position there. He was well. He had clothes. He had food. He had shelter. He had good things. But there was something out there in the world he was desiring. And he asked his father, he says, "He give me the portion that's for me, and I'm going on my way." And he went out, and this young person that I know now is sort of what the same thing they've done. They've gone out, they've gone away, and they have made a wreck of their life. Just like the prodigal son. And he went out there, he had all kind of friends, he spent all the money that he had. A famine came into the land, and a lot of people, there's not necessarily a famine that come into the land, just the choices and the decisions they make bad ones and cause their lives to be a wreck. And this prodigal son found himself down in the hog pen, and it said that he was eating the food, the husk that the hogs, the pigs were eating. And he was at the end of his rope, so to speak. You know, there are so many people that come in this world today. They're in those conditions, and God gave me this particular thought. And we see them, and sometimes we may say, "You've done that to yourself. You didn't listen to your parents. You didn't listen to good counsel. You didn't listen to other wise people. You just continued. You get in trouble, and you get out of that, and you get in trouble, and you get it out of that, and you get in trouble, and you just continue over and over and over." And, you know, the Bible teaches us that there's a thought of sowing and reaping. You know, you reap what you sow. You go against good counsel, you go against good help, and you get yourself in trouble, you reap what you sow. And sometimes us as people, as saints especially, and we look at certain cases, and we're like, "You know what? You've done this to yourself. Of all the counsel you may have gotten." And God gave me this thought. But even in a hopeless condition, even in the condition of the prodigal son in the hog pen, if they'll look to God, He'll lift them up.
That's true.
Whatever the conditions, no matter how deep, how disastrous their lives may be, God can still lift them up and give them hope. And backing up in Psalms, we might come back to this verse here. In Psalms chapter 40, and verse 2, he says, "He brought me out, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit." Prodigal son was in a horrible pit. He had nowhere else to turn. He had no one else to help him in the condition that he was in. He was in a horrible pit. And then God can bring him up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set his feet on a rock and established my goings.
Yes, thank the Lord.
Every single one of us in here that are saved this morning, we're in that condition. We may not have been in the condition of the prodigal son physically, or the young person I'm speaking of physically, but every single one of us, every person that desires to get saved, every person that comes to the place to want to acknowledge God for help, they have to come to the place that I'm in a horrible pit. You say, well, I'm doing well. I've got a family. I've got a job. I've got a home. I've got a cars. I've got clothes. I have everything financially doing well. You're in a miserable, horrible pit. God said, all of your righteousness, all of your goodness, all the things that you look at are well, to God is nothing but a bunch of filthy rags. He says, you're in a horrible pit. You're in a miry clay that you and I, we cannot get ourselves out of. We cannot save ourselves. I can't save you. Your family can't save you. Husbands and wives can't save their children. We cannot be saved by anyone except through Jesus Christ. That horrible pit. And God says, if he'll turn to me and he'll look to me and he'll call upon me, I'll take him out of that. I'll take her out of that. I'll bring her out of that horrible pit. And look what else he said he'll do. In verse 3, and I'll put a new song in my mouth. Let's back up a little bit in verse 2. I skipped over that. After the horrible pit, out of a mire clay, he says, I'll set my feet upon a rock, a foundation. You know, that's what happens with a lot of people. They want to go here. They want to go there. And the things that they get involved in, it just folds. It just crumbles. They just sink into that quicksand of sin, so to speak. But God says, I'll set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise of our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. But he says in verse 3, I'll put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Turn someone in that may have cursed God. Brother Walter was talking about some different ones in the past, older ones. Brother Reynolds, I heard his testimony. He shook his fist at God when he was in a darkened time. He wasn't saved at the time, but he was in a darkened time. His son had died. He had lost his son, and he shook his fist at God. And if I remember the story right, he asked God, he says, where were you at when my son died? Why weren't you there to help my son? Why didn't you take care of my son, protect my son? And he shook his fist at God, and God replied back to him, I'm in the same place when my son died on the cross. I'm on my throne. And God dealt with him. And saved him and put him on a solid rock, established his going, put a new song in his mouth, and praise unto his God. I never knew him in that time, Brother Reynolds. It was Sister Bush's father. But I knew him in the later years. And one of the sweetest men you'd ever want to know. Because God had changed his life. Because God had made a difference in him. And in the prodigal son, when God got to him, got to his heart, got him to realize, if you'll get up and you'll go home and repent, I'll do this for you. And the young people today, and the one I'm speaking of, thank God there's still hope. Long as there's breath in their life, there's still hope to bring them up out of that horrible pit. And mainly, thank God, to give them praise in their voice towards God. How much do we praise God? He saved you and I from a horrible pit.
Yes, thank the Lord.
There again, sometimes the devil tries to make it so sort of sugar-coated. Well, I wasn't that bad. I was only 17 years old. I think Brother Herschel was 11, you said? He wasn't, guaranteed at 11 years old, he wasn't involved in probably any sin, really. You know, I'd ask him to tell me anything, but I never handled bad language. I never smoked. I never drank. I never did drugs, of course, back then. It wasn't as big a deal like it is today. I never did it. I never stole anything. I thought of a baseball one time, but I was kind of coaxed into that. But that's another story. But I never did sin. I never ran sin. But when God talked to my heart and let me know, this is where you need to be. He also let us know we're in a horrible pit. Well, we cannot get ourselves out of that pit, out of that miry clay. And he established my goings. And he put a song in my mouth and praise on my lips towards God. God did that for you and I. God bless us. Our state was just as helpless, hopeless as the prodigal son, even though we may not have been in the physical conditions. Our estate was just as hopeless. He set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings. People are looking for happiness everywhere in this world except in Christ.
That's true.
It's got to be in Florida. It's got to be in California. It's got to be in Maine. It's got to be in Hawaii. It's got to be somewhere. Let's go there and enjoy things. And I thank God that as saints of God, we can go to Hawaii. We can go to Florida. We can go to California. And we can enjoy those things that God has allowed us to be enjoyed. But our blessings, our hope, our strength, our establishment is in Jesus Christ. But the world is looking for something else. He's established my goings. I'm not looking for anything else happy. I thank God for that. I thank God I'm not looking for something else to make me happy. Maybe this will make me happy. That will make me happy. I know there are joys that we can enjoy in this life, even as saints of God. But our establishment is in Jesus Christ. It's set. It's solid. And I thank Him for that. What a blessing.
Yes,
you know, one thing, the great blessing that I've learned is contentment here. Regardless of all the turmoil that goes on around me and in our own homes, contentment right here. I thank God for that. I can enjoy the world, but my happiness is in Christ. I enjoy seeing the things of this world. I enjoy going to Yellowstone last year and seeing the beauties. I'm not talking about the sinful things. But see, so many people say, "Oh, we're going to go to the Bahamas. We're going to go to Bermuda. And looking for something to bring contentment, happiness." And there's nothing wrong in a sense what they're doing that way, but they're not happy in their soul. And he says, and he put a new song in my mouth. This is verse 3 of verse 40. And even praise unto our God. Can you give him praise to God?
Thank you, Lord.
I'm back up to 107 Psalms. Look at that just a minute or two here. In verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving. You know what sacrifice is? You know what they did a sacrifice years ago during the Old Testament? They took a lamb that they could have made money with. That is very valuable. If they had 10 lambs there in their flock, they didn't look, which would make sense to our physical and our mental mind. Well, that one over there, both of his eyes are poked out. He's got a broken leg. He's out in veins. Let's sacrifice that one. God said, no, that's not the one that I want. The one that I want is the best one that you have of those 10. And I want you to take that out from among the flock, and you're going to give it to the priest. And that priest is going to look at him. He's going to look at his teeth. He's going to look in his ears. He's going to look in his eyes. He's going to check his legs, make sure there's no flaws anywhere in his body. It costs them something. I want you to understand that. It costs them something to give that lamb. He says in this verse of Scripture in verse 22, let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving. You know what that means? Thank you, Lord. That's a sacrifice to some people. I know, I mean, Linda and I are the same family and the same thing. We were both very shy. Some of you that knew me when I was very shy. To raise my hand during songs was difficult. To say amen or thank God. Now you want to talk about getting up here and singing? That was beyond anything I imagined. But Brother Walter mentioned that time when I sat back here and I said that same thing he said this morning. Lord, send more singers because I enjoy it. And God said, okay, how about you? Just as clear as I'm saying to you, he said, how about you? I'm like, ooh, wish you wouldn't have said that. But God helped me. This was definitely not something comfortable for me. But I'll share it, I believe, saints, with all my heart. That was right after I got saved, within a year maybe after I got saved, not too long after that. God helped me to start singing, and I learned to play guitar. And this didn't take overnight. This was years it took place. But I believe God prepared me for this. I don't know if God, I shouldn't say that, but it would have taken a lot for God to bring me from doing nothing to preaching, I guarantee you that. because he knows me. It took a long time for God to sing, go to camp meetings and sing, and revivals and sing. It took a while. Let us sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Well, I don't really like to say a whole lot. That's why it's a sacrifice. Because it's putting ourselves first, or putting God first before ourselves. Lord, I want to thank you. There I said, many of us may not sing. We may not have the ability to sing. But when's the last time you've been at home? And you've been thinking of a particular song. And you were singing it or humming it at home. When's the last time you come to church? You know, saints, I was humming this song this week. Hear ye the master's call. Give me thy best. For be it great or small. That is his test. Do then the best you can, not for reward, not for the praise of man, but for the Lord. When's the last time we've had a song? And just say, that's all you got to do. Giving God praise, honoring him, he's worth our praise. He's worthy of our praise. If I had 10,000 lives to give him that praise, I couldn't do it enough. That's why it says a sacrifice. It should, in a sense, you would think it would be easy for us to thank God this coming Thursday. Most of us, no doubt, will probably be somewhere. Or you may sit at a table. And I doubt whether there's one of us that will, if we sit at a table, there will be more food to eat for the next week.
That's true.
In our family, one of the things we enjoyed is a turkey sandwich. Later in that night, sit down and have a turkey sandwich. I'll have turkey sandwiches for the next week till I get sick of turkey sandwiches. But we'll have Thanksgiving for a couple days because we'll have so many leftovers. Well, we won't. Dougie's having Thanksgiving this year and all. But that's the way it is. It's easy to thank God when the blessings are everywhere. But what about during those darkened times? Are we still willing to give God praise? Are we still thanking God? Let's go back to a verse of scripture I've used many, many times, and you'll know as soon as I go there. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olives shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. And verse 18 says, in this darkened time, yet I will still rejoice in the Lord, and will joy in the God of my salvation. In the darkened times, in the difficult times, in the hard times, it doesn't mean you're a hypocrite. I often mention how many times we go to God in prayer and maybe spend the time in prayer and giving thanksgiving to God for everything that he's done. Don't ask one thing. Don't bring remnant crap. Just, Lord, I want to thank you. In those dark times, difficult times, it may be difficult sometimes to bring our mind to a thanksgiving mentality there. But how many times we get down there and pray, Lord, I want to thank you. Even all these difficult times that Habakkuk mentions, darkest times, can we give God thanks? If we don't give God thanks in the best times, I know we're not going to give God thanks in the dark times.
That's true.
You come in here, we sing that. Sister Ann's had that song in the back of the songbook. We've got shoes on our feet. We've got clothes on our back. Food to eat. Warm building. Amen. Thank the Lord. If we can't thank God when the times are well and doing well, we're not going to thank God during the dark times, during the difficult times. Deuteronomy 8 and 10 says, you remember this Thursday. Deuteronomy 8 and 10 says, when thou hast eaten and are full. Anybody's stomach growling right now? If it is, it might be a little bit. But you're not starving. Who was it? Was it Jacob? Who was it? Came to his brother and said, I'm starving to death. Feed me. When thou hast eaten and are full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good of the land which he hath given you. When's the last time you've gone to the grocery store and got a basket full of groceries and paid for them and maybe leaving? I ain't saying you got to do it audibly. Thank you, Lord, that I have money to buy this. Thank you, Lord, we have food to eat. How much are we a thankful person? I remember when Lynn and I first got married. I think I've told you this multiple times, but remember we got an apartment and we went to the store. We were just moved in there. You know how you're getting everything settled in. We go to the grocery store and we come home and back, you know, a little tiny refrigerator. It wasn't big, so it didn't take much. And I can remember when we filled it, and it was pretty full. And I can remember stopping for a moment. Both the freezer and the door was open, and I thank God. I thank you, Lord, there's food in there. I'm thanking I'll open it up, and there's just a glass of water, a bottle of water, and a thing of milk, and maybe some bologna. There was food in there. And Lynn and I were talking about it this week. About something, I don't know how we were talking about it. I remember, and now I know all you all are different. This is money for you. But we had 44 hours. I have no idea. We had 44 hours to go to the grocery store and buy groceries with. And we took a calculator with us because we didn't have 44 hours and 10 cents. We had 44 hours and that was it. What we buy? Okay, that's $1.50. That's $5. We couldn't go over 45. That's why we had a calculator. I thank God I can go to the store today and I walk in there and buy. I don't even look at what I just buy this, buy that, and walk out. And if somebody asked me when I walked out the door, what'd you pay for it? I don't know. God's blessed us. God's blessed me to have the able to be able to buy things, buy have what we need. I thank God for that. Let's sing a real quick verse of a song. You all know it. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. I thank God for this salvation.
Yes, amen.
It's free.
Yes.
To whosoever will. It's free. To those that are in the depth of the pit, God will bring them right up. Doesn't cost them a dime. Lord, if you'll save me, I'll walk with you. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Page 373. I need the heavy how, correct?
373.
Okay. Oh, bless. Accept me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and by, for life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, let me thine be, thou bless us all. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come.